Happy Halloween, everybody. All joking aside, I'm actually going to preach on Halloween because even though it has nothing to do with the readings, I think it's something that is misunderstood and causes a lot of tension at times. And I'm going to dare to say that especially in Latino circles. So, I want to go over and talk about what is Halloween, what isn't Halloween, the good, the bad, the ugly, all that stuff. So, the name Halloween, by the way, my title of my homily is Reclaiming Halloween, so there you go. The name Halloween comes from older English words, All Hallowed Eves. It comes from All Saints Day, basically. Hallowed is holy. Okay, so it is the eve, the vigil of All Saints Day. That's where the name Halloween comes from. But the origin of the whole, you know, the pumpkins and the costumes and all the stuff that we normally think of with Halloween comes from the following. So it is pre-Christian. This always causes people to get all uptight with feasts and things that come from pre-Christian times. It began in Scotland and Ireland with the feast of, and I don't speak Gaelic, so I will just pronounce it the way I think it should be, Samhain or Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, however you want to pronounce that. There's probably some totally different pronunciation in Gaelic, but I don't know it. Samhain, I'm just going to call it that. And what was it? It was a harvest feast. So at the end of the harvest, the summer months and everything are ending, and the very last harvest has taken place, and we're about to start the dark half of the year. So from the feast of Halloween until the next 6 months is like the darker half of the year, and then the lighter half is when things are fun and there's harvest and all that stuff. So several things happened. One of the things was the Celtic people, they had their livestock, and in the summer they would put their livestock up higher because they could graze anywhere. In the low winter months they would bring them down when it was a little warmer and there was at least some food. The idea that you're starting the dark half of the year anytime in pre-Christian, anywhere in the world, anytime when you're in pre-Christian times, you think of darkness, you know, that is the moment when you start thinking about the spirits and the underworld and death and all that. And the livestock used to have a hard time living through the winter, so the idea was, well, we need to, during these dark months, let's offer up a celebration to appease the souls of the dead and the little gods and demons and whatever else are running around out there, to appease them so they won't kill our livestock, so we will make it through the winter okay. So they had this Feast of Samhain, which had bonfires, and they would offer up sacrifices, and it was the beginning of this tough period. So that led to the practice of also putting on costumes, because one of the other thoughts was, from this time onward, the souls of the dead would come out of the graves and they would go looking for some place to stay, usually going back to your house or your family. So the people would put on costumes in order to either make them think that you were somebody else or make you think that you were one of them, so they would leave you alone. Okay, that was the idea. So they would dress up in, you know, different disguises in order to disguise themselves from the dead. Now, what happened in Christian times in the 9th century, so you're looking at the 800s, probably in order to baptize this feast, so it probably was because of the Celtic English tradition, the Feast of All Saints Day was instituted in the 800s, and also the next day, the Feast of All Souls. So November 1 and November 2, Feast of All Saints, Feast of All Souls. Up until that point, I mean, I guess the celebrations may have existed, but they were formalized and put in the Roman calendar on those dates, November 1 and 2. Now, here's something that I think we need to always remember. The Catholic Church has never been afraid of, quote-unquote, baptizing pagan rituals, pagan places, pagan homilies, whatever. For example, nobody has any problem with Christmas trees. Well, guess what? Christmas trees have a pagan origin. It did not begin with Christianity. We baptized it. We gave it a new meaning. It was the idea that the Son died every year and would be reborn, and the celebration of the birth of the new Son was Christmas on December 25th, and et cetera, et cetera. So we baptized it. We have no problem doing that. Nobody has a problem having wedding rings. Well, guess what? That came from pagans. Okay, if you guys don't like Halloween, then take off your wedding rings too, and don't celebrate Christmas with lights and trees. Okay? The church, from the very beginning, has had no problem. For example, when you live in Rome, I used to give tours of Rome. You've heard of the Pantheon. It's one of the most famous pieces of architecture from the imperial times, because what made it so spectacular was, you know, back in the times of the Caesars, they built this immense dome, which is difficult to do, and people are architecturally, how did they do it back then? Now, you know, we've got steel and concrete and everything, we can do those things, but so the Pantheon was a pagan temple. Well, guess what? It's a church now, dedicated to All Saints. And right next to it is the Church of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva. What's that mean? Holy Mary on top of Minerva. That means there was a temple of Minerva there. They basically built a church on top of it, and now it's a church dedicated to Our Lady. This goes back to early Christianity, like, you know, 3rd, 4th century stuff, that we were doing this. So that's something we always need to take into consideration. We have, the Feast of Halloween has become, yes, it has a pagan origin, but what has the church done? It has taken something authentic, a recognition of the afterlife, the recognition of the fact that there are dead, and elevating it to the fact that, okay, this is now, we are called to holiness, we are called to be saints, and we need to pray for the souls of the dead. Now, there was another modification. I knew this is going to be a long homily. It's already getting long. There was another modification, the idea of trick-or-treating, going around, you know, trick-or-treat, all that like we do, which is normally what you think of with Halloween. Where does that come from? It's something that came later. In the Middle Ages, there was a practice called souling, as in soul, alma, okay? Souling was this. On the Feast of Halloween, which already All Saints existed, the poor people would go door to door begging for either money or for little cakes. And in return, they would pray for the souls of the departed in your family. So we come through a neighborhood like Yonkers, knock, knock, knock. They wouldn't call trick or treat at the time, but they would say whatever they said. Can you please give us either money or food or something? And then they would stop and say a prayer for all the repose of all the souls of the people in your family. Beautiful practice, okay? That later became a practice which just became less, in a certain sense, Christian, but just kind of fun, which was guising. Guise in the sense of disfrazandose, okay? So children would start going door to door and performing either jokes or songs or telling stories or whatever, but still, it was a begging practice. Poor kids generally would go door to door and say, look, if I sing a song, and then, okay, dinero, okay? In the 1800s, what happened? You had a massive wave of Irish, principally, and some Scottish coming to the U.S. They brought that practice here. It became commercialized, like everything in the United States tends to do. So what's happened now? Because the United States, we're great at any way you can make money. So we took Christmas, which is the Son of God is born poor into a stable of Bethlehem, and we turned it into the most commercialized thing ever. Total reversal of values in the way that we celebrate Christmas in our modern culture. We've taken Easter, and somehow that got associated with chocolate and eggs and I don't know what, but again, how do you make money off of this? Now, if you have something that has all the trappings of Halloween, the capacity to make money by selling costumes and candy and trick-or-treating and everything, so of course it got commercialized. The next step is, because when you start commercializing it, and then people start selling again the spooky costumes, which they didn't, for hundreds of years we were not into the spooky costumes, but then, it grabs people's imagination. So whatever sells and makes money most, so what is going to grab people's imagination? Of course, monsters, zombies, skeletons, witches, all that stuff. So then, satanic churches, quote unquote, they're not real churches, but Satanism, witchcraft, all those people that are into all these esoteric, weird, basically demonic religions have latched onto Halloween. And yes, there's a lot of really nasty stuff that's going to happen around the world tonight. That doesn't make it a bad feast day. It just means that you and I need to reclaim it as a Catholic celebration. Tomorrow is the Feast of All Souls. Tomorrow we're going to confirm kids. I think that's the most beautiful way to celebrate confirmation, is on the Feast of All Souls, All Saints rather. The idea that when you get confirmed, it is so that you will become saints, okay? So tonight, I would ask you, let's say extra prayers and reparation for all the craziness that will happen, and protection for all the people because of all the craziness that will happen. But let's not abandon the Christianization of a feast that for hundreds of years has been about Catholic teachings on sanctity and the salvation of souls.